episode 28 of the fourth season and one of the most unique seasons we've ever had of LOI Weekly with Johnny Ward and Pat Finlan in studio reporting live from, where are you, Pat? Belfast, I presume?
No, I'm in Dublin today and I'm in Hollystown in Dublin, working from home.
That's the new normal, it has to be said. Yeah. Thanks to our new sponsors, Lottoland, where you'll find all the odds and special bets for the rest of the SA or Tristy League Premier Division. Check out lottoland.ie/sportsbook and make sure to stay tuned as we'll be giving out some of their specials throughout the show. You'll find us on Podcast Republic, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, at LOI Weekly on Twitter. Dan isn't with us this week, but we have to reflect on a fairly remarkable last round of games. We'll have Ollie Horgan very shortly, who's just spoke to me and Pat before we came on the show. We're going to hear from Dara Doyle, the Longford manager, ahead of their playoff game against Shelburne. And we're going to also hear from Dan, who's going to give us an appraisal of the teams this season, the 10 teams. But first of all, good morning, Pat Finlan. How are you?
I'm great, Johnny. Yourself?
Not too bad. It was a strange season. Obviously, we still have the cup and the playoff. I suppose just to get to yourself first, how are things up in Linfield?
Yeah, all gone well. Obviously, we've started our league campaign and we started quite well, 3 wins from 3. So, happy enough for that. And you know, we're going quite well at the moment. And that's what you want, I suppose, when you start a league campaign. You want to make sure you hit the ground running, and we've done that quite well.
Am I contradicting you here? But I think you might have 4 wins from 4. Is that right?
You're right, Johnny. It is 4 from 4. I forgot the game that I did attend and put down, and it was probably one that I. It was easily forgotten, to be fair. It wasn't a great game, but we picked up the 3 points on the road at Portadown, which was a difficult venue at the best of the time. So it's a great start. You know, on the back of obviously winning the league last year. Good enough run in Europe. Probably a little bit disappointed how we went out of Europe, to be honest. You know, there was a great opportunity there. Home draws. But it didn't materialise. But good start to the season, which is most important.
Actually reminds me of just last year. I was at Windsor for the Carabao game, and that was an incredible sequence of results. And you know, that late goal you conceded in Windsor that night, but for that, who knows, it was a remarkable performance on the European stage by Linfield last season.
It was incredible. I mean, manager, players deserve huge credit. We went on a brilliant run, prepared really well for it, and pre-season games were good and competitive. And you know, we rather look in some of the games in Europe, but some brilliant performances. I think, like you say, the game against Carabao at home, we were outstanding, and only for that late penalty against us, you never know, because we would have went there, obviously, putting a lot of pressure on them, and even their performance over there in the back of that was fantastic. So, brilliant run, and we all know, obviously, the difference that makes financially to football clubs when you have runs like that in Europe.
This season, I'm friendly with the Glentoran fan, and certainly they had high expectations. Hasn't really worked out so far. Larne have been flying it. Obviously, good money behind Larne. But what's the depth of the league there? Who are the teams you'd be expecting to challenge the Blues?
I think you know, the one thing about the league at the moment is very, very competitive. I think you're right. Glentoran will be really disappointed with their start. I think they've had 2 points, which they really disappointed about. You know, they had a high expectation, brought in a lot of players. But it'll be, like you say, Larne, a very, very good team. Beat us well in the County Antrim Shield game last week. We did have a man sent off fairly early in the game, but they are a good side. They were good against us last year in the games I watched. And as usual, I think Coleraine, you know, good side as well. We'll be challenging Crusaders. We'll be challenging Cliftonville. Obviously, got plenty of goal scorers in the team. So there is 4 to 5 teams within the league that are capable of mounting a challenge to win the league this year again.
And just before we move on to the League of Ireland, what's it been like for the clubs up there? You know, it's almost like we're kind of used to this normal now of clubs being financially supported without any crowds down here. And obviously, great potential news regarding a vaccine yesterday. But like, how have you guys survived up there, and how long can it go on?
Well, we still got crowds at the moment. I think we can have up to 600 in the stadium. You know, for games at the moment. And it's difficult to manage, Johnny. I have to be honest, from my position as the general manager of the club, there's a hell of a lot of work needs to go into that and to make sure that works properly. You know, from a financial point of view, we haven't had any major help yet, but hopefully that's coming down the road, because it will need to be, because you know, clubs will struggle if we don't. So it's I think it's like everybody, just roll up the sleeves and get on with it and try to do the best job we can. It's been, you know, for everybody, it's the same. It's very, very unusual circumstances in football. Watching football, playing football, even for the players, very difficult. You know, very difficult even for managers to to maintain that togetherness in dressing rooms, and you can't use them for periods of time. So it's very strange times.
How have you found the lockdown yourself based down here? And, you know, it's I guess it's kind of changed a lot of the way we look at life and so on. But have you dealt with it okay, and have you been kept busy?
Yeah, I think you try to deal as best you can. Everybody's in the same boat, and, you know, probably cut down on the travelling at the moment and spending a bit more time at home. Unfortunately, get a bit more painting jobs when I do that. So just have to get on with that, Johnny, like probably everybody else. But no, it is difficult. You know, everybody wants to be out and working and making sure. And I think in the job that I'm in, you want to be around. You want to be around the stadium and making sure everything is prepared for games. So it's trying to find a balance that works, I suppose, for everybody. And we're doing the best we can.
We might have a chat about the All-Ireland League and where that might be later on. But just have you been to any League of Ireland games, or have you been watching on the streams, or have you been keeping tabs?
I probably watch most on the streams, unless I've been working at any of them. I haven't sort of put anybody under pressure to attend games, to be honest. I think it's difficult enough, I know, from my own situation. You're getting requests for people to attend games and you're having to turn them down. So I've probably watched from afar, I suppose, unless I've been working, you know, doing COCOM or wherever I came. So, but it's been a very interesting season. Obviously, different type of league completely. So, and last night's probably culmination in a few surprises along the way, like there's been all season.
Yeah, I suppose the results last Friday night, I was at the promotion playoff game, which Longford Town won 2-1 against Galway United. Totally deserved, and we will hear from Dara Doyle later on. And I tell you what, Pat, they go into a game against Shelburne now. And I'm a firm believer in this. I think when you're going into a playoff, it's about mental momentum to an extent. And there's only one team that could have any claim to mental momentum of those two at the moment. Dundalk lost 2-0 at home to Sligo Rovers. We literally discuss all these teams in due course. St Pat's Athletic 1, Bohemians 2. Very entertaining game, it looked like, in Richmond Park. Bear in mind now, I had about 3 or 4 tabs open last night. And not bar tabs now, tabs in the laptop, trying to watch all these games at once. Shelburne 0, Shamrock Rovers 2, Finn Harps 1, Waterford 0, Cork City 1, Derry City 1. And all this means, Pat, that Cork City, of course, go straight down. Shelburne go into the playoff. Sligo Rovers finish 4th. Dundalk finish 3rd. Sligo Rovers now look very, very likely, barren maybe one of the outsiders, to win the cup of getting into Europe. Briefly, Pat, what did you make of it all? As you mentioned, some surprises.
Yeah, I don't think there was any surprise at the top end of the table. I think Rovers were fantastic from the first day they came back to obviously last night again, and to keep that going even after winning the title. I know that you know, staying unbeaten is was the goal, but still, it still takes a little bit of edge sometimes when you get over the line and you've got games remaining. You know, not purposely, people just slack off a little bit, but they've done really well going into a real competitive game last night because Shells needed something from the game. So they've been different class all season, I think. You know, the way they play, the setup of the team, you know, the balance of the squad, really, really strong. Goal scorers, you know, everybody complained that they probably hadn't got a goal scorer, but they've got goal scorers all over midfield contributing to goals. And again, a striker that probably doesn't get the credit he deserves, but the way Rovers play, he leads the line brilliantly for them and allows the players behind him to express themselves. So, you know, and I think Bowes have to be given huge credit as well for what they've achieved. You know, to finish runners up to Shamrock Rovers ahead of Dundalk is a fantastic achievement for them. I think they'll be disappointed that they've lost 5 games this year, Johnny. I think they've tried to find a way of playing a little bit differently this year, and it may have cost them in some of the games, you know. So it's something they'll probably look at for next season. But it's been a funny league, I have to be honest. It's been you're looking at, I'm looking at Shells, you know, they get relegated, they're in their relegation playoff, you know, and they've lost 9 games. Sligo have lost 9 games and probably will get to Europe. So it's a funny league this year, you know. So but the credit has to go to Rovers, obviously, for what they've achieved, and very, very capable of backing that up with a double as well.
You've made a very interesting point there. Bowes will be disappointed that they lost 5 games. So they drew 1 game all season. They won 12 games. They lost twice against Shamrock Rovers. They lost against Finn Harps when it was a nothing game for them. But you think to be fair, 5 defeats out of 18 is nothing to be boasting about. But I would have thought they'd be absolutely, you know, thrilled with this season, and maybe the problem would be holding on to players.
I think they will be thrilled with the season, but I think as a manager and coaching staff, you'd be looking and thinking, how do we improve? I think Bowes, you know, there's probably a bit of expectation around them now. They've got some money in the door, and Now, there'll be an expectation that they go and spend on players, which I don't think they will do. I think that what they've done is manage the club really well. But I think they will look at that and think, 5 games, we shouldn't have lost 5 games out of 18. Mm. You know, defensively, they've got a lot of very good players as well. They did miss a few centre-halves for a period of time, which may have cost them as well. And obviously, you say, like, the big games against Rovers, you know, they lost both of them. Even if you nick a draw on both of them, like, they've been doing or winning over the last couple of seasons, you know. So, but I did think Bowes slightly changed the way they played a little bit this year. And, you know, maybe that was to try win a few more games. But unfortunately, they've ended up losing a few more. And that's been, I'm not being critical because they've had a brilliant season, but just looking from a manager's point of view and a coaching staff point of view, how do we improve? I'm sure Rovers will be looking at the same. How do they improve? You know, Dundalk definitely will be looking how they improve. But Bowes, for me, if you stay in them games and you only lose two, you give yourself a chance, even if they're against Rovers, that makes that gap a little bit smaller. So I think that's where the room for improvement will be with Bohemians.
Can you remind us how many of the 10 clubs you either played for or managed?
It's fairly simple. I think the Rovers, Bowes and Shells and St. Pat's, the Dublin clubs I've played for.
And Derry City.
And I've managed Derry and Rovers and Bowes and Shells. Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically half the league. But you didn't have an association with Finn Harris. But before we play the Ollie interview, I don't know, Pat. I mean, I saw Stephen Henderson was on. I think he was on Twitter this morning. And, I think it was Stephen Henderson was saying, you know, obviously Bradley will probably get manager of the year, but the job they've done, and it was more so the fact that the last 9 games they lost two. They beat Bohemians away. They got a draw against Dundalk. Granted, they lost against Shamrock Rovers and they lost against Sligo, but an incredible run of results.
Absolutely. I think you said earlier it was 2 from 9 or something they lost. And I think you have to give them great credit because when Shells won the games back-to-back, I think against maybe Waterford and Sligo, I think probably everybody thought that's it. And maybe Shells did as well.
I completely agree with you there. Yeah. I was at that game and I thought it was like celebratory mode afterwards.
Yeah, and I think it affected them in that game and obviously affected them in the cup game and thought, you know, took their foot off the pedal a little bit and they've been dragged back into that playoff. And I think you have to give Harps great credit. I mean, and I'm not being disrespectful to Finn Harps. It's hard for Ollie to attract players up there. It's not the best place to go and play. And it's very important the type of player he brings into the club. And him and Paul Hegarty have done a brilliant job there, you know. I know both of them really well. The amount of work and travel they do to get the games and watch players, you know, they leave no stone unturned to try bring in a type of player that they obviously can afford, which is the big issue for them. And obviously a type of player that's going to go into a dressing room that they know they're going to have to roll up your sleeve and scrap for every point that's available. So I think they do deserve great credit. Listen, the skin of the teeth, they've stayed up, you know, but I think if you'd asked at the start, if you finished 8, would you be happy they'd have taken your hand off? It's like I said to Ollie as well, is how do you take it forward? You know, if you're Finn Harps, you're looking at this and you're Ollie, you're thinking, okay, do I want another battle around a relegation next season or can I try to take it forward? You know, and that's a dilemma for him as well for Harps. It's a difficult situation for them. They are on their own up there and they do have a decent support when it's gone well for them, you know. So it'd be interesting to see how they approach next season.
Well, that was one of the things that Pat and I discussed with Ollie Horgan, who joined us just before the show. Joined now by Ollie Horgan. Ollie, congratulations. Just looking back on the results there, As far as I know, I could be wrong on this, I think you've lost 2 of your last 9 games, which is effectively 1 complete half of the season. It really is an incredible achievement, and you've done it playing with a style of football maybe as well that perhaps went a little bit unnoticed at times. So congratulations, first of all.
Thanks, Johnny. Yeah. Look, we got there in the end, which is all that matters, but then we did.
You were expecting a playoff, I suppose, at best for much of the season, were you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, both myself and Paul Hegarty watched Longford play Galway, obviously, in Belfield on Friday. That's, you know, we okay, look, we didn't write off what happened last night fully, but, you know, when Shelburne won their 2 games in a row in Waterford and Sligo, it looked like that, if you like, that carrot was gone. We had only won 2 games all season before we went to Dairy Mount. And look, we had a fair run of the luck in the last couple of weeks that maybe we didn't have before it. But look, it's worked out in the end, but I would.
Pat, what have you made of it?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic achievement. Like Ollie said, obviously had their eye maybe on the playoff. I think the short season would have, you know, they probably would have thought they had a chance of getting out there and not having to play in a playoff, you know. And I think for them to stay in division, you know, outside of the playoffs is a great achievement. I think it's probably the perennial question for Ollie, it's how they take it on now, isn't it? And he's probably wondering the same thing. Yeah, we spoke about a lot of time about Finn Harps. It's a very, very good club, you know, in a with a good fan base in a probably a GAA dominated county. So it is a great achievement for them to stay in, but I'm sure Ollie's looking and thinking, I don't want to be in this situation again next year. I want to be up the table, and it's how they do that. It's how they bridge that gap, and that's difficult. I understand it's difficult for them. They probably have eyes on stadiums and developing the club, but it gets to the point, and particularly for Ollie as well. You can only keep doing that for so long. You know, you want to push on as a club, and I'm sure Ollie has that ambition to push Harps up the league.
Ollie.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, you know, we've discussed this when we got promoted many years ago. You know, 5 or 6 years ago against Limerick, we thought we could push on. We lasted the year, and the structures changed where it went from 12th to 10, and we got relegated without a playoff. We came up again also against Limerick, and we hoped that we could push on and you know, push up the table a rung or two, to put it that way to you. And we felt this time last year that we could achieve that. But look, off the pitch you have difficulties, although we've made huge progress there, and there's a bit of a drive in the last 12 months within the board. You know, the likes of the new changing room that we've got there. But you know, we're crying out for a new facility, which obviously has been stalled for a whole lot of reasons. And you know, the pitch took its fair share of criticism against Sean McGlover's, but the amount of work that was done by volunteers between last Sunday week and last night to get it playable and halfway decent for last night was a credit. And we do need help. We do need financial help to try and upgrade that part of it, as well as many other parts on and off the pitch. But it's a serious league, and it comes with a cost. And we have struggled to you know, to kick on, as Pat says, to go up a rung or two and not to be always looking over your shoulder, which has always been the case up to now.
Well, realistically, what can happen with the stadium? I know we're living in extraordinary times, but this has been going on a long time, and you know, a few politicians maybe were tweeting congratulations and so forth. But this, you know, we had the John Delaney documentary in RTÉ last night, and he presided over an era when maybe the League of Ireland was a bit neglected. But this club, for the potential it has, clearly badly needs a stadium, and is the will there to make it happen?
Certainly the will is there from within the club. We have a stadium committee, Paul McClune, who's on the board. He's basically dealing with that nearly full-time, if you like, and that's his sole role within the board. There was a lot of getting to different stages with, if you like, different governments, and nearly all is at stage 9 of 10 that it fell back. Look, it's crying out for, you know, Drogheda have made the same point. You know, I saw Conor Hoy when they got promoted last week. He's made the same point of it, that they're in the Premier Division. You know, we've been in it now. This will be our third year in a row, if you like, for next year. We need a facility, and we need help to get that facility. I'm not directly involved in that, obviously, neither is Paul Higgerty. We'd be obviously at the football end of it, but it kind of goes in tandem. And you know, we need something to fall for us off the pitch, maybe as it did on the pitch last night.
Yeah, when you see as well, Pat, I mean, from your own position playing games in Windsor Park, and you know, you'd have to say the standard of the grounds in the Irish League in general are certainly ahead of Finn Park at the moment, and it makes a hell of a difference for the experience and just for, you know, the worth of the league.
Yeah, but I think there's a bigger question here. It's not just Finn Harps, isn't it? I mean, there's got to be, and I think there probably is at the moment, they're lobbying around government to see how they can help the clubs off the pitch. Not talking about on it, you know, everybody's got to find a way with their budget and make sure they try it here. That was difficult at times as well. But I think off the pitch, there's, you know, there has to be some sort of lobby to them to say, how can we develop the game? You know, you've got Finn Harps sitting up there in Donegal on its own, you know, fantastic football club. And the thing, you know, the stadium's not just about building a brand new shiny stadium. What it could do for Finn Harps is attract better players into the club as well, and give them momentum with more supporters. You know, better facilities brings revenue as well. So, but I think right across the league, like you said, there is funding that goes hand in hand in the north of Ireland, where grounds are developed on a regular basis. And I think it's something we've got to look at, and hopefully we spoke about this before, Danny. We the League of Ireland was put on the front page under the last government. So hopefully it stays there and there is a development plan. We've seen that development plan hopefully for the ailment. We know in the situation we're in at the moment it's difficult for the government to be throwing money at football stadiums, but there has to be a plan, whether that's, you know, a short, medium-term plan, if how we can develop teams. You look across the league, you look at Dundalk, you look at Finn Harps, you know, they need help, they need development. You know, people might argue about Dundalk, they've got plenty of money in relation to their owner, but, you know, it's how we develop the league and looking at, you know, games on TV. It's not good. It's not good when you see games around. I'm not trying to be overcritical. If you watch a game at Ballybuffet, it doesn't look good, and then you've got to go and watch a Premier League game after it. You're thinking we're so far behind, but you know that's where we need help. That's where the clubs need help off the pitch.
How did you attract players? Like I was reading Ali Kosfer-Siddiqui, an interview with him, and he was saying how you met him. I think you met him maybe in Dublin Airport and whatever. And you definitely win these players over in terms of your passion for the club. But it probably is a bit difficult bringing a guy like him to, you know, a place like Finn Park and saying, you know, play for me here.
The likes of Cass that you mentioned there, Cass was with Hibs in Edinburgh. I met him over there, and he basically hadn't enough experience to try and break into the Hibs first team, and he came out on loan initially, and then with the cutbacks when the lockdown happened, Hibs let him go. But you know he's got whatever 20 Premier Division or 18 and 2 cup games under his belt with us, which will bring him on, and he probably looks at it as an opportunity to try and get back to that level. And that's probably the attraction. Obviously, it's not the financial side of it, but he is playing in the Premier Division of the league, and thank God we have that to offer again for another year. It's really that attraction that's given young fellas an opportunity to either kickstart their career, or in one or two other cases to, you know, to restart their career, if you like, might be with one or two of the older lads that they came to us. But it is a very decent league, as you both very well know, and you know they want to play in the highest level in a country they can get, and that's what fell for Cass, and he did quite well for us, thankfully.
Was Barry McNamee your biggest sign in this season in terms of the extra dynamism that he brought to the team, or am I wrong to single him out?
I'd say Barry be the first one to tell you you're wrong to single him out, because that's the type of personality he is, and it certainly is never about Barry in any manner. Barry has huge quality without doubt, but like, Barry rolled up his sleeves and worked as hard as anyone around him. Of you know, maybe not as much ability as Barry has, and that's why we stayed in it. He bought into it. But certainly, no, I wouldn't single Barry out, and he'd be the last one that would want you to single him out. But of course, he was a huge addition. We're delighted to get him. He'd worked with Paul Hegarty in Derry before, which was, you know, he knew Paul. His brother is with us. You know, we look, I know Barry also. Tony, his brother, is with us, who's a great bit of stuff as well. Yeah. And look, it worked out well. Barry was injured for quite a while at the restart in August. Which we had a poor run of the results when it restarted, and the fact that Barry wasn't there probably is testimony to him. But there was a hell of a lot more than Barry with us that got us over the line, and just got us over the line with the skin of our teeth. If you looked at the fifth minute of injury time last night, you know, with the ball taken off the line. But look, that's a little bit of luck we probably didn't have earlier on that we got last night.
You never played against Raf Cortaro, Pat, did you?
No, but I had Rafa Bowes. I signed him at Bowes. And listen, and I think the important thing when, you know, because I, you know, when we were allowed to watch match, I would have bumped into Ali fairly regular. And I think the other thing that's very noticeable, if you look at, you know, the staff and Ali and Paul Hegarty, you know, they have massive experience among themselves as well. But I think when you're recruiting players, when you know you're going to be in a dogfight, that's important. They've obviously got to be decent players to play, but you also have to have a character that's going to go into a dressing room that's going to have to roll up its sleeve and be difficult to play against at times, and having to scrap and fight for every point that's available. And they've done that, and that's not by luck. That's by good recruitment and making sure you know the players that you're bringing in, and not just their quality, like I say, but their attitude and how they approach the games.
Yeah, I only say that partly in jest, because Raf is such a seasoned pro at this stage, Ollie, and I'm minded of that goal he got against Cork, when Cork looked like a win was going to really catapult them into a strong position to actually finish second last, and Raf Cortaro pops up with a goal, and you know, just the likes of him to be doing that at his age is quite inspirational as well.
Look, Ref, you know, I don't need to tell you, certainly not Pat, anything about Ref. Obviously, Pat had him at a younger age. I tried to get him a number of years at a younger age, if you like. But his quality on and off the pitch is second to none. He's a proper professional. He's a proper man. And you know, the influence he has on the pitch, as you can see, even at his age, but off the pitch, is even more so. And you know, even with the younger players around the club, he's a brilliant example to them. And look, he's a proper lad. As you know, our only regret was that he didn't come to us earlier, and we'd have had a couple more years of Raf. But look, he's done well. He's got some crucial goals for us. We've managed him as best we could on the basis he can't play every minute of every game, obviously. But he's influenced every game where he's either started or he's come on. And he got a penalty against Pats last Wednesday week that got us, if you like, into the position that we are in now.
Mm.
And look, Raf, I don't think there's anyone that would have a bad word to say about Raf. He's a credit to himself and his family, and we're delighted to have him, to put it that way.
Just Pat, if before we finish up, is there a real appreciation for what Hegarty and Horgan have done? You know, any Galway United game I'm at, they seem to be at the game. The amount of travelling they do to go to games to look at opposition and all that. But this, you know, do you get pigeonholed when you're with a team that's perennially struggling? Because Harps didn't play bad football this season, and again, arguably punched above their weight, which they seem to do consistently.
No, absolutely. It's like I said, you know, you get what you deserve in football, and you have to work really hard. And like you said, with the two lads, you know, I see them the length and breadth of the country, and you know, and I speak to Ollie probably regular enough in relation to players, you know, so I know the work they do. But when and I'm not being disrespectful to the Harris, when you're at a club like that, you've got to do that. You've got to be always on the lookout to see can you pick up a diamond, see can you pick up a Raf Cataro. You've got to sell him the club because Ollie can't throw money at him. You know, so it's about selling them what you're trying to do. And that's why I think the recruitment of players at a club like Finn Harps is important in relation to the quality they have, but also what they're coming into it, you know, a difficult season. Then now they're going to be in that position where they're going to have to, you know, scrap and roll up their sleeves. And I think it's important as well that, you know, you're going to have bad days as well, and tell players react to that, and you know, don't get the heads in the boots. And Raf is an ideal scenario for that in the dressing room, you know, win, lose or draw. He's the same type of bubbly character, so doesn't like to lose, but he doesn't let it affect him, you know. I think the other thing the Harps have got to be careful about, you know, there has to be other clubs looking around. I think, you know, Ollie and Eggsy have done a really good job there, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. It's how they can bring that forward now as a club, and hopefully they can, please God they can, because they have a lot to offer the game. And you know, so, but it's a very, very good achievement. I know it's a short season, and I'm sure, what you know, from Ollie's point of view, doesn't make it easier to retain the players for him, but it gives him a better chance in relation to being in the Premier Division.
Yeah, what is your ambition, Ollie, in the game? Because you know, the two of you have been at Harps, and you've done an amazing job.
And I'm listening to Pat there. I don't know if he's expecting me to buy him a pint or something. But, you know, as I said in address about Barry McNamee earlier in the conversation, you know, it's Paul Hegarty or I, it's a matter of probably going in and trying to do as well as you can and trying better wherever we are. Obviously, in Finn Harps and Mike, yes, for the last 7 years. It's nothing about us. It never will be. It never was. And you know, that type of way. Look, we roll up our sleeves as every other manager does. That's, you know, and it's just that it's fallen our way. We could be, if we didn't see up, and if that last minute shot from Curtis Byrne had gone in last night, we'd be in a playoff, you know, against Longford. That would have been a very, very difficult ask, and we could have been relegated on Saturday, and then I don't think Pat would be speaking as highly of us, to put it that way.
Yeah, I think that's
more margins, you know.
Yeah, but you've got to look as well. You finished ahead of Cork City. You were a big club with a big budget as well, you know. So I think you finish ahead of Shells, you know. So it's over the course of the season. It's, you know, you get, like you say, you got that little bit of luck last night that you probably deserved. So it's probably been missing in some of the other games that you've had. So,
I think part of what you're saying is that, to be fair to the players that come in, they enjoy it, win, lose or draw. And you know, I don't think there's any pretense or there's any arrogance or there's any people getting about themselves. And the majority of young lads these days they enjoy that. And you know, that probably is an attraction as well. As like, look, whatever we do it straight up and get on with it. you know, and Paul in particular would be exactly the same that way. Look, today is a good day, as Pat said. You know, you had a lot of ups and downs, and we had some bad days as well that we got over. We had a game in Sligo about a month ago where I think there might have been 12 players that were booked with 3 sendings off. I'm not even sure what had we 12 on the pitch, but anyway, you know, we lost 3-1 in that game, and that was a bad night for us. But we got up and get on with it, and as Pat said, the likes of Raf were crucial in that, and the likes of the likes of David Webster, Stephen Folland, that have been there at both ends of the table, and they were very important additions to us, you know, for those days, especially the bad days. For that would be.
I know it's a mad time and all that, but how confident are you can hold on to these players next season in general?
Look, we haven't even thought about it. Like, I mean, we were half planning, you know, for Longford at the weekend, and that's no disrespect to anyone or anything. You know, we'll always plan ahead, you know, regardless of the result. That's basically where we're at the moment. We give them a day or two off after last night, and we take them back in again, and see where we're at. For we play a Shamrock Rovers in the cup the weekend after next, and look, at least we can go and enjoy it while it's possibly a bridge too far for us with Shamrock Rovers, with what the level they've gone to. At least we can enjoy without the other pressure of having to stay in the division, which at least we got over the line last night.
Yeah, how did you celebrate, Ollie, finally? It's not as if you go to, what's the big bar across the road? Johnny Dunleavy's uncle, I think, has a bar across the road from the ground, hasn't he? But different times.
Johnny could have got the uncle to open it. Obviously, there was that day is gone in these times. But I would tell you, look, it was a midweek game, a Monday night game, where a lot of the lads were travelling, and they headed back home to their families, and that was, you know, we certainly didn't presume that results would go away last night, and there was no bottles of champagne lined up anywhere, if that makes sense, of any manner, and it was very, very low key and matter of fact, and I suppose that's the way things have gone anyway since the lockdown. But, you know, we have in our back of the heads of preparing for Longford. And, you know, thankfully we don't have that headache, because that itself would have brought on huge challenges for us had we have to play at the end of the weekend.
Ollie, thanks a million. Congrats. And I didn't even mention that. Best of luck in the cup.
God bless you. All right, thank you very much.
Don't forget to visit lottoland.ie/sportsbook, and it's there you'll find all the odds and weekly special bets for the SCR, just the Premier Division, and of course the European markets. But it's international football this week, and Ireland visiting Wembley to play England for the first time in so long. And Lottoland has boosted the price of an Ireland victory from 7.8 to 9. So that's 8-1 for Ireland to win in 90 minutes. Both teams to score, meanwhile, has been boosted from 2.01 even money to 6-4. That's 2.5. And Ireland to win in the handicap, the goal handicap, so that's Ireland to win in the goal handicap, was 2.9, and that's now been boosted to 3.5. That's 5-2. Visit the price booster section on lottoland.ie/sportsbook.
Ollie kind of reminds you a bit of Tommy Cooper, because Tommy Cooper would come out to an audience and the place would just be in hysterics, and Tommy used to say to the lad beside him, I haven't even said anything yet. And when you have an interview with Ollie Horgan, everyone expects, oh, sure, you have the banter with Ollie. He's one of the characters of the game. And that's grand. And, you know, you have the crack with him. But the managerial achievement of these lads and the way that players play for them from different backgrounds, not all from Donegal, some lads coming from abroad, as you mentioned, Siddiqui. And this season as well, I don't know if you saw much of them, but they were playing a nicer brand of football than I suppose they've been kind of known for. And I just can't praise them enough.
No, I'd agree with you. I think the two boys have done a brilliant job, Ollie particularly as a manager, and he's the one that's doing a lot of the work. But they work very hard off the pitch, and you know, and it doesn't happen by chance. You've got to work hard when you're in their position and you're scrapping away and you need to entice players, that you've got to do a hell of a lot of work around the country and further afield to pick up players, and that's what we've done really well.
Yeah, and I suppose your point is particularly pertinent there, because you can't just keep this cycle of trying to survive going when there obviously is potential up there for something better.
No, absolutely, and it's difficult, because it hasn't taken effect at some stage that you're in that situation every season, you know. And you know, it's very difficult for Finn Harps as well, because I know there's a lot of work getting done off the pitch in relation to maybe potential new stadium, but they need help. You know, we're not. I don't think they need help on the pitch. I think they've got brilliant manager and coaching and staff around. or a facility that befits what they are, you know, and that's the next step for them. Because if they don't, it's just going to keep continuous yo-yo up and down in the first division back up. And, you know, there is potential there. You're not looking at a club without any potential. There is potential there for Finn Harps to attract decent attendances.
I suppose they're a team as well that would be fairly well suited by an All-Ireland league in their geographical location. And what's your latest on that? We've had many discussions on this, and obviously I know you've been a long-time advocate.
Mm. Yeah, listen, I think it's like everything. There's probably work being done in the background, and I've been on record to say that our club's position is probably not exactly the same as mine. I think it's something that we should look at. As people that are managing football clubs and governing football clubs and the league, you've got to find what's best and how do you make them better. And I think that's both sides of the border. You know, if something comes out of the talks that's been going on, that we can develop one league, brilliant. If not, if that can develop both leagues as different entities, well then well and good. But it's like I said before, talking doesn't hurt. You've got to exhaust all the avenues to try and make it better, because, you know, we're under no illusions that both leagues need help.
Absolutely. Now, Dan isn't on the show this week, but he did send on his appraisal of the 10 teams from the Premier Division. Hard enough to disagree with this, but this is what Dan said.
All right, Johnny, I'm really sorry you're going to miss the joy of broadcasting with you this week, but I'm sure you'll get on just fine without me with your guest list. I just thought, you know, I'd give a sort of a season review for each team. Maybe it's a discussion point with your guests. You can see if you agree with me or not, see what your review on it might be. We'll take the Premier Division from top to bottom as a discussion point. Shamrock Rovers, what can you say, really? You know, best side in the league by a mile. We discussed it with Stephen Bradley. I'm not too sure about this whole... it is technically an unbeaten season. I don't think anyone can argue with it, but I don't think it's going to be winning sort of widespread national acclaim for sort of being an invincible team across the season. You probably need more than 18 games for that. But I think the measure of greatness for them would probably be a first double. And I mean, why wouldn't they do that now, really? I think you've got to be pretty confident that they would. The main opposition is probably Bohemians. Second, brilliant season. Not really much more we can say on top of what we've said before, other than... you know, what, 6 years of Keith Long now, and Trevor Crawley there, a lot of good players there. I mean, their challenge is going to keep hold of what they've got. Their challenge is to keep hold of what they've got, because, you know, there's a good coaching staff, management team, and some really good young players. And they got a great chance in the Cup, Dundalk in third. Oh, war. Like, what to even say? I have to apologise to you, Johnny. I said I didn't see them losing to Sligo Rovers. I have to say I didn't. And to be honest, what they're doing is they're actually performing very credibly in Europe, and then their next league match is almost killing any good vibes from it. And it's getting to the stage where really, I think it's very problematic for the perception of the management team. I mean, for all that, there's an expectation that they would stay and that the chairman is speaking about them staying. You know, you can't keep struggling like that. A very wise man who was watched the Sligo game in complete detail, Sligo Rovers game in complete detail, just said they didn't know how to play through a low block at all. So, I mean, you know, since our last show, they've played Rapid Vienna. They've really competed really well in the game. But I suppose... in a way, you know, like, they have very good players, and I think they've had a good plan actually for those games as well. But there's probably, you know, Rapid were quite loose, whereas teams are obviously figuring out ways to play against Dundalk at home and said, can you play through them? And they're struggling. So I don't know. That Bowes quarter final now is probably going to do more for the perception of that coaching staff than any of the remaining European games. So that's a big one for them, and they've got a bit of time to come back and be fresh for it. But I don't know, I think the excuses are wearing a bit thin now. I think at this stage they're rotating a lot, but I mean, like, limping over the line to finish Europe, you know, finishing European spots, but probably with the highest League of Ireland budgets of all time, it's nothing to celebrate. Sligo Rovers, and that is something to celebrate, in fairness to them. When you consider that they were, during the lockdown, we were talking about relegation, Sligo Rovers, Now, did an incredible amount of fundraising, and then probably wound up a few people around the league by signing some good players, when they were probably a club that, you know, they looked to be more bother than most, and yet they've come out with a very good squad. But like, in fairness, I think the fans probably knew that they were contributing towards that as well too, as well as survival, to, you know, to give them a squad to survive. But they've done more than that. It's very hard to see Derry City or Finn Harps or Athlone winning the cup, so you would think that that's Europe for them now. And Liam Buckley, probably, you know, there was a good night for the veteran managers last night. I think we can probably all agree with that. Fifth place Waterford, I just feel a bit worried about what happens now at Waterford. I think there was a bit of discussions and momentum there about if they'd qualified for Europe, maybe would that be the, you know, the impetus to have a proper discussion about what they might do. I think, you know, there's players there, okay, another bit older, but like Brian Murphy and Darren Murphy and you know, people who probably want to live in the area and want a club there. Maybe thinking more so about Brian in that situation, who'll have offers from everywhere. But you get the sense that they'd love to stay local. I just fear a winter of guessing games around Waterford now, to be honest. And they'll sort of live to regret that late miss, I think. And Ballybuffet, sixth, who do we have in sixth place? Pats. Do you know, like, Pats against Dundalk, Pats against Rovers, there is signs that there's progression there. Just real inconsistency. I don't know if I said it before. Almost reminds me to some degree of early Rovers under Stephen Bradley, in that there would be very good performances in individual games. I think, yeah, they have this sus, they have a plan, and then look wildly inconsistent and sort of erratic, and, you know, conceding, ultimately, you know, those goals they conceded early in Pats really, really caused problems for them. But I don't know, does Europe impact on their budget for next season or not? They have the nucleus of a good squad, and they're learning on the job, but I suppose, like, you know, they probably had higher expectations, to be honest. It's a bit of a weird limbo for them, and I suppose it depends what way. Again, they're very reliant on Garrett Kelleher and where he wants to go with it. But I mean, you look at them competing against Rovers in particular, you're thinking, yeah, there's something going on here. But like everyone else, they still don't have a goal scorer, and it's a sort of a chronic lack of goals outside the top clubs. Derry City, the cup can maybe give some structure to their season, but disappointing in Lithuania. They've rotated, you know, they've shopped outside. They almost had two different squads from one window to the next. They've just sort of drifting along in a way. And I mean, Philip O'Doherty did say at the start of the season he was pushing out their budget, and they will demand more than needing to stay up in the last day, albeit in very weird circumstances. Again, some good players there, but they've probably gone back rather than forward this year, I think. And that's obviously a tough one for them to take. Finn Harps, what can you say? The story of the night, really. Like Ollie Horgan, as we've said, mentally prepared for this playoff since January. But they just, like, it takes sort of a serious bottle in character to show up when you need to show up, you know, at key games every year. And it's not just bottle in character, actually. That's actually cliched. It takes organisation and a game plan as well, too. That, you know, for these big games, they generally get it right. And, like, even how they started the game against Waterford, they just started it at a really good, just at a tempo, and in a way that they just didn't let Waterford settle into it. They rode their luck at times with chances that were missed, but like they got the lead, like they earned the lead, and then it was up to Waterford to be good enough to break them down. And some really good individual performances. You know, Webster was good. This is the game I watched the most of. You know, Webster was good. Mark Russell was excellent. Just even his ball carrying at times was brilliant for them. McNamee's experience. As I said, the keeper had one difficult moment at the end, but generally he's a very strong keeper. And I'm delighted for them. Like, I posted the picture up afterwards at the stadium. I was up there in August. Like, Harps will never get out of this cycle of trying to survive every year until something happens off the pitch. And I saw some, like, politicians posting their congratulations, but they probably need to do a bit more for them now, because they will never get out of where they are at the moment. They'll always be at this every year until they do something bigger. And I know Kevin McHugh or people, and they're trying to develop the underage section, but like, it just needs a, the club needs a home, and you need to capitalise on this goodwill to get there. Shells, I mean, I don't know. You might talk to, like, in the week, you're sort of, you know, Joe Casey is stepping away, and Pat Fenlon there will know all about Joe Casey and what he means to Shells. And it almost felt like Shells this year were being reborn, and it must be a weird one for our fans that, like, post-pandemic, they're out of the grounds. You consider the buzz in Talca at the start of the season and their away games, and all of a sudden now they're just watching from afar, almost powerless, as they slide into this playoff situation. And while I still fancy them to beat Longford, like, they're sort of trending downwards, and just don't seem like to be a very happy camp. I know it's easy to say that when the team isn't going well, but just doesn't all look great. And compare that to sort of the unity of that Longford team, who are, fortunately, Johnny, for you, far better than Galway last week. Like, they're still going to have to cause a shock against Shells, but you'd see if Longford are as approached the Shells game with as structured a game plan as they did. I thought they had a good discipline about them in the Galway match, whereas Galway were a bit sort of aimless at times. That game could go to the wire. You know, I still probably fancy Shells, but yeah. And then Cork, yeah, well, we've done the Cork post-mortem before. Just see where the club goes from here. You just hope that there's brighter days ahead. It's a sort of an obvious thing to say, but it's obviously going to be a soul searching off season then there, and we'll see who gets a crack, what way they want to go with it. I suppose a bit of performance against Derry and a bit of performances under Colin Healy, but does he want to be out front and doing the job? I suppose we'll find out more about that in the weeks to come. But there we go. That's a long-winded review of the season. A few discussion points for you, and I'll talk to you soon. I look forward to hearing the rest of the show.
Don't forget to visit lottoland.ie/sportsbook, and it's there you'll find all the odds and weekly special bets for the SCR, just the Premier Division, and of course the European markets. But it's international football this week, and Ireland visiting Wembley to play England for the first time in so long. And Lottoland has boosted the price of an Ireland victory from 7.8 to 9, so that's 8-1 for Ireland to win in 90 minutes. Both teams to score, meanwhile, has been boosted from 2.01 even money to 6-4, that's 2.5, and Ireland to win in the handicap, the goal handicap, so that's Ireland to win in the goal handicap, was 2.9, and that's now been boosted to 3.5, that's 5-2. Visit the price booster section on lottoland.ie/sportsbook.
The obvious place to start, Pat, is Shamrock Rovers. I've been watching the League of Ireland since, I don't know, the mid-90s. I've no qualms whatsoever in saying this is as good a team, if not as certainly up there with the best League of Ireland champions I've seen in terms of quality. I watched the game against Shells last night. They absolutely battered them. And as you mentioned, for a team that one team had relegation on the line, the other team had nothing to play for except this unbeaten record. I think they've been absolutely fantastic. I think they've performed well in Europe. They have that star quality of Jack Byrne, but they've an unbelievably good defensive record as well. What have you made of your old club?
Yeah, they've been very good. Like you say, from start to finish, they've been relentless, and I think the cup win last year gave them huge hunger. I think when you're involved in clubs and teams, when you win something, that bond that you get after that, you know, 2 or 3 days of celebration, that drives people on, and they want more of it. And Rovers have shown that hunger, you know, to have more success. Unfortunately, they may not have that celebration this year, but no, they've been different class. I think, listen, it's been a difficult season for everybody, but they've just been relentless in the pursuit of winning the league, and they've just swatted everybody away very, very easily. Like you say, I think, you know, they're very, very solid defensively. You know, they've gotten a lot of attacking flair in the team, but with the three at the back, it allows, and obviously a very, very good goalkeeper, it allows the players in front of them maybe one hole in midfielder, and gives the expression for the rest of the players to go and win the game for them. I think that's where the difference with Rovers is. There's not loads of great goal scorers in the league at the moment. Rovers have found a different way of playing, you know, that's not totally relying on a goal scorer to get you 15, 20 goals in a normal season. They've got goals from all over the pitch, from midfield areas, you know, wide areas, offset pieces. So they've been different class.
Well, they're three of the top 5-6 scorers in the league, effectively, which is some achievement. Just with Jack Byrne, that goal he got last night, and you know, I was thinking of this the other day. We talk about the lack of strikers in the league. Jack Byrne one-on-one, or Jack Byrne in front of goal, could actually be the best in the league in terms of just finishing chances. And how reliant on him are they? And if he moves on, can they replace him? We see, obviously, Dylan Watts has come in and he's played very well this season. He's a smashing player, I think. And maybe Danny Mandrew is a potential signing. But if Jack goes, can they still kick on?
Yeah, I think so. I think, Jack's obviously had a brilliant season. I think the one thing he's probably added to his game this year is that goals, that finishing. I think they have a really, really good finisher in Graham Bourke, to be honest. I think Graham's capable of scoring goals. And maybe if Jack moves on, and may make him more of a central player in that system. And I think he's more than capable of, if they can hang on to him, of carrying them through. And like you say, Dylan Watts is a very, very good player. You know, I'm not sure what he's capable of getting as many goals as maybe Jack is, but I think it'll be difficult, obviously, for Rovers to hang on to Jack unless he sees as, I'm very happy, I'm in a good position. Obviously, the contract offer will be very, very good. So he has a big dilemma ahead of him. But I think they've got enough around him. And I think, Graham Bourke for me is a really, really good finisher. You know, and again, I'm sure Rovers will be looking around to see if Jack Bourne goes, who they can take in to try to replace him, which would be difficult, obviously.
Finally, are they on the cusp of dominance now in terms of, we probably said this in 2011, sure, Rovers will go on dominate. They didn't win the league until this year. But is it hard to see anyone challenging them?
I think the gap is huge, to be honest with you. I think the gap is massive now. I think it really is. I think if you look outside, I think Bowes have been absolutely fantastic. You look what Dundalk and Rovers are spending as clubs, they are so far ahead, and I think Rovers will grow. There's no doubt about that. They've got the structures in place to grow. I think they've got, obviously, financially, a backer that is crucial to what they're trying to do as well. I think Bowes have done well to sort of hang on to their coattails this season for as long as possible. But I think there will be a period of dominance, from Rovers. It's difficult to do that. I think if you go back to the great Rovers team that I watched in the 80s, that dominance was there from them as well, to win doubles galore and league titles. And, it's very difficult to keep down that, and that's why Dundalk should get the credit they deserve over a period of time as well, because it's that hunger, it's that little bit of spark, that can drop off once you get used to winning things. But again, that's down to management and how Stephen manages that over a period of time.
Yeah, you mentioned that Rovers team. I mean, even the evolution of the game in the League of Ireland since your sort of Shells team that went toe-to-toe with Deportivo and so on. But like, I suppose from your perspective, and this is kind of a stupid, empty question, but how good is this Shamrock Rovers team versus that Shamrock Rovers team of that generation, the Shells team that you managed, the Shells team that you played for, maybe the Dundalk team of 2016, the Cork team of 2017?
Yeah, I think it's difficult to compare. I don't think there's been a team as good as that Rovers team in the 80s yet. That's just my opinion, and I'd include any of the teams I've probably managed them myself or played in, and including the brilliant Dundalk team that Stephen had. I just think that Rovers team was special. They're a fantastic group of players. But listen, Rovers are in a great position at the moment, and I'm sure they'll want to try get that double, because the great Rovers teams are remembered as the ones that win leagues and cups, because they are such a successful football club. So they're in a really good position. It's how you I suppose, with Dundalk struggling at the moment, they would have seen them as their biggest rivals. Bowes, like I said, have done well to get close to them. So they'll see a chance for themselves to be dominant for a period of time, yeah.
Okay, let's briefly talk about Bowes. I think holding on to Danny Grant, by all accounts, is going to be difficult for them. But this is the thing about Bowes. Chris Twardick went, but they brought in Promise Omotcheri, who's, I think, has done really well. Dawson Devoy looks a cracking prospect. Obviously, Evan Ferguson's been playing a bit as well. No doubt he'll be going to England. But I don't know. What can you say about Long and Crawley as well? And, the fact that they comfortably finished second.
Like you say, they've done a fantastic job. I'm not sure, are they there 5 or 6 years maybe at the moment, but they've done some job at the club, they've, and off the club, off the pitch as well, the club has grown and prospered really well. So in general, they've done a really good job, Bowes. I think they'd have been more than happy to split Rovers and Dundalk this season. Definitely. And I wasn't critical in there. I just think they would look at it and think, right, how do we improve? I think that the key for them is, they've lost players over a period of time since Keith's been there, but they've replaced them. They've had that conveyor belt of players that have gone away from Kevin's and come back, and obviously have a grot to play for Bowes as well. But the link with Kevin's, it's whether that can continue and how they hold on to their better players. I think what they've done over the last probably 12, 16 months is they've signed a lot of the younger players on longer contracts, which they weren't able to do previously. And I think that's the key to, having some resources there now, is that they don't lose players on the cheap. and they don't lose players to their rivals, you know, that they're able to give them, you know, longer contracts. Because when it started for Bowes, they would have been 1 year contracts and someone done well and the big clubs would have been in and taking them. So I think that's something that they will manage going forward. But how do you better that season? Mm. You know, they're still in the cup. Can they get to a cup final? You know, that would, if they got to a, you know, finish second and to win a cup would be some achievement for them, you know. And how ironic would it be if it was a Bowes Rovers final and an empty tally?
That's a pretty, yeah, I think like the vaccine, you know, one of the most compelling reasons to bring in the vaccine would be to, so that we can actually have a full Aviva Stadium for Bowes and Rovers in a cup final or something like that. That would be dependent on Bowes beating Dundalk in the quarter final. Now, Pat, I honestly think this is one of the most baffling you know, situations ever in the League of Ireland. Dundalk finished with a goal difference of +2 this season, a team that was favoured to win the league. What have you made of it? And unfortunately, we don't have 3 days to go through this, but it's been a crazy season.
It has, yeah. It's been very, very unusual. It's when you look at the quality they have and you see some of the performance, you watch the game against Rapid Vienna and you see how well they play, you know, and then obviously last night then they go up against Sligo at home and get turned over and could have potentially caused themselves a serious problem with that result, and, you know, results went elsewhere went for them. So it's been a really poor season for Dundalk. There's no other way to explain it. And then you say that and you think, well, they're actually in the group stages of the Europa League. So like you say, it is peculiar. But when you look at Rovers, who won 15 games from 18, Dundalk have won 7. You know, and that for me shows that the gulf in class between both sides at the moment. They've just lost their way for whatever reason, Dundalk. Like I said, it's very difficult to keep that hunger up and keep driving on. You know, some of the players are getting probably not to the end of their careers, but getting older and getting hard to have that motivation. So it's a big off season for Dundalk coming up. If they can salvage something by even nicking a point in that Europa League, which is going to be very difficult, and getting to the cup final, maybe nicking that as well, but then they'll salvage something for them. I don't see them beating Bowes at the moment in current form. It's a poor season in league form for them. They've been really, really disappointing. There's no doubt about that.
Just quote James Rogers' recent article here, where he says, "By my reckoning, Gary Rogers, Aaron McCary, Sean Gannon, Cameron Dummigan, Brian Gartland, Sean Hoare, Jordan Flores, Michael Duffy, John Mountney, Dane Massey, Sean Murray, Nathan Adu, Daniel Kelly, David McMillan, Lido Latifa, Josh Gatt, and the on-loan Georgie Kelly and Tanner Dogan are all out of contract next month." Now, you have to be, as your Linfield, with your Linfield hat on, you're thinking, you're kind of, your hands are rubbing against each other, and you're thinking, who can I bring up to the Super Blues?
Yeah, listen, probably most of them are outside of their category, to be honest, in relation to salaries. But, you know, and that's the dilemma for Dundalk, isn't it? Because it's all right saying we've got a lot of players out of contract and we can change it. Where do you get the players from? You know, what's going to make them better? Where are they going to take players from to make them, you know, get better and challenge Rovers? They've got some really good players. You know, the first decision they've got to make is the manager staying? You know, because if he's staying, then he's got to be given time to try build, you know, or does he have the contacts? Because it's going to be difficult for him here to attract, you know, to know the league and the players. He's only here a short period of time. Does he have the contacts to bring them in from outside? You know, so it is a difficult situation for Dundalk. I still think they've got a nucleus of a really, really good squad. You know, it's whether someone can, you know, if he's a manager to get them going, well then probably over the next, and I think that the cup game is going to be a big game for Dundalk, you know, because the European games, they performed quite well. But when you've got a squad like Dundalk, you should be able to rotate your squad and win games at home against Sligo Rovers. So it's a big off-season coming up for Dundalk, a really big off-season, because if they get it wrong, you know, they're going to find themselves, they are a long way behind Rovers at the moment, they're going to find themselves further.
Well, just finally on that, this job isn't necessarily as attractive as it might be, because with all due respect to the regime that's running the club, It must be a bit of a concern for a manager to think, well, look at what happened to Vinny, and, you know, if I go in there, what'll happen to me?
Yeah, but I think as a manager, you can't, you know, you gotta weigh that up when you're taking a job. Okay, but you've got to then look at it, you know, if you're looking as a young manager and you're saying, right, someone's going to hand me that squad that Dundalk have, can I make a fist? Absolutely. Manager thinking, yeah, I want to get a crack at that and I can make them, you know, like I said, they've got some real, real talent within the group. There's obviously changes needed, and that happens at every football club and every team, you know. So again, but there's a manager in charge, and it's probably unfair on him, you know, if he gets to the end of the season, if they were to win the cup, and obviously they qualify for Europe, I'm sure they will look at that and maybe think he's the man for the job. If they don't, well then they may look around to change. But again, change is not always the best when you see what's going on at Cork City as well at the moment. So it is difficult. It really is a difficult situation for Dundalk at the moment. How they come out of this between now and the start of next season is going to be huge.
And Cork City was one of the things I spoke about with Gary Buckley earlier. We tried to get Liam Buckley on, but we had to get Gary Buckley instead. But what a season for Sligo Rovers. And here's Gary. Gary, good morning. How are you?
Good, Johnny. How are you?
You look like you're ready for training.
No, I'm not ready mentally.
I was just saying the fact that the last game I saw of you lads was against Shells, and it looked like, to all intents and purposes, that was the end of that. Very deflating, sort of, that, you know, you had this run that could have brought you into Europe. Shells were celebrating, and Shells have ended up finishing actually in the playoffs, and Sligo Rovers are finishing fourth, and now you have a massive chance getting into Europe. How could you sum it up?
I suppose that kind of sums up the league. I suppose you get a result or two. Even a draw probably isn't a good result in the league this season, because a point kind of does nothing for you. Whereas 3 points now is absolutely massive, more than another season. So, yeah, that kind of sums up the league. But I suppose after that Shells game, we were defeated. The restroom was quiet. It was a good performance in Shells. You could see Shells even maybe kicking on and going to Europe as well. So it was that kind of a season. But we just took it every game as it comes. It's an old cliche, but it's so true. Like, you can't be looking forward down the line to home games or hard away games like Dundalk last night. Like, no one would have gave us a chance last night, but the same 3 points as anywhere else, and that's just the way we approached it. Because after the break, we've been unbelievable. I'd say if the season started after the lockdown, we'd probably be top three. It's a mad season.
Just for yourself, what brought you to Sligo? You'd been obviously a fixture at Cork City, and was it a sort of a Liam Buckley thing, or was it the club, or was it just that you wanted to be back with Johnny Dunleavy?
It wasn't that, anyway. it was a bit of everything, really. I spoke to Liam a few times at the end of the season last year. Obviously, played in Sligo loads of times, and it's kind of similar to Cork in a way. Like, you're a kind of community club or fan base, hardcore fans, so... I was speaking to a few people at the time, and I thought Sligo was the best decision for me, and I thought Cork ran its course for me. Mm. Not that I didn't enjoy it, obviously. We had great years there. I thought I kind of went stale at the end, and I kind of wanted something new. Get out of my comfort zone, get out of Cork, my hometown, and I thought Sligo was fair enough to go from Cork, so...
Yeah, absolutely. People would recognise you as a midfielder. Did you feel at Cork that maybe the system didn't suit you to an extent? Because I suppose midfield was bypassed a lot, and you have a lot of quality on the ball.
But I think centre-half was probably my most natural position. People probably wouldn't have seen me there that often because of when John came in. I was pre-season for John's first year and scored a couple of goals, and I just ended up staying there in the attacking position. And obviously, I always had a knack of scoring goals, so I always just played there for John. So I think centre-half is my most natural position.
But when you went to Sligo then, were you thinking, I'm going to end up playing with John Mann, centre-back, in the last game of the season in Dundalk, or are you thinking about midfield?
To be honest, no. I thought I was going to be one of the three midfielders, so... Obviously, there was an injury at the start of the season. I can't remember who it was. And Will Seymour ended up playing back there. And then the next game, I think he said to me, if we got injured again, I think it was, I don't know, a Shamrock Rovers game at home. Mm. We lost 2-2. Someone got a team who got injured, and I played the second half back there. Did okay, so. And obviously, lockdown happened, but there were still a few injuries at the start of lockdown, and we played there again. So, yeah, it's not really new to me, I suppose. Just getting used to... The reading of the game is a bit different centre half than it is to midfield. If you make a mistake, it's more highlighted. But now it's nothing new to me, really.
The only black mark I can think of watching you this season, and this is probably one of the best goals I've seen in the League of Ireland, was losing Graham Burke for that goal in Talla. And that was that's the standard you're playing at. Because if you're playing centre back, a ball like that, what can you do?
I say I've watched it about 1,000 times since it's happened. Because in any person in that situation where Graham Burke is there, it's not really going to play a pass like that, like a whip so far out. It's going to be a clip over the top. And I've actually watched it back so many times, and I probably was the deepest man as well. I still found it over my head. And to be fair, the ball was unbelievable, but Burke's first touch was...
sensational.
Different gravy as well. He didn't need a touch after that. He just finished it then. So, yeah, but that's the calibre of players you're playing against. And they've won the league, unbeaten in the league. Not many teams go to Talla, and... and do well. So I thought we did okay in the game as well, but obviously conceding goals is not great. I suppose that was the only black mark on my defensive role so far.
What about last night? By all accounts, yourself and John Mahan were excellent, and I think it's a great story. Some people have benefited from lockdown, the likes of him and Sean Kavanagh, maybe Greg Bulger to a lesser extent, but lads who are long-term injured are coming back now, and just the two of you seemed to get on well last night.
Yeah, we get on really well, even off the pitch as well. We've gotten really close the last couple of months and stuff. But yeah, I'd say lockdown was tough for him, even because like he couldn't even get rehab on his leg, so kind of set him back another couple of months as well, but he's a strong mental character, I suppose, and he's strong physically anyway, so he didn't really need much to get back up to speed. And yeah, I suppose the game last night, I just said to him before the game, listen, our job is a clean sheet. If we don't score, we don't score. Once we get a clean sheet, obviously we need to win to have a chance at Europe, but our job is not to concede. So I suppose that's what we did last night. We know Dundalk won't have a lot of the ball, have their quality of players, and we broke well a good few times. But saying that, I think we probably had more chances than them in the game, so I think we're full value for our 3 points.
You seem to be a very together squad, like a bunch of lads that just get on well. Sligo is a small town in the west of Ireland. I suppose it's hard enough to escape each other, but what's this journey been like for you?
Yeah, I suppose the season has been bad. I suppose I was looking for a fresh start, and then after 2 months, this lockdown happens, and then you're waiting to get a word to come back up and have to drive back up and back down and moving everything out of the apartment and then moving everything back in. It's been mad, I suppose. I suppose that lockdown probably helped us in a way because we lost our first 4 games, and then you're, for the whole 3 or 4 months of lockdown, I'm probably clicking onto the league table every day going, geez, I need to go for a run. because that bottom of the table, like 0 points, is killing me. Like that was motivation itself every single day. So, yeah, since then, boys been unbelievable. Jeez, every single one of them. It's not just 11, 12, 13 players. It's been over 20 players that have probably played for the club this year. Everybody's played their part.
What's Buckley been like to play under? He's, you know, one of the veteran managers in the league. He left Pats, maybe it got a bit stale there, like it got for Caulfield at Cork, but he's come in to Sligo, you've played a nice brand of football, and somehow you finish in the top four after all of that.
Yeah, I suppose that kind of sums them up, really. We were probably bottom of the table coming into the lockdown, 0 points, and there wasn't, I wouldn't say not a care in the world, but there was kind of like shackles off. He gives you that kind of freedom to play. Like, don't be afraid to make mistakes. And I think that helped us.
Even after the 4 defeats, like?
Yeah. Coming back into lockdown, like, he didn't seem phased or, like, he didn't seem like he was under pressure. He just, that's his kind of character. And that kind of rubs off on the players as well. You know? So we're going into games with obviously there is pressure because you're bottom of the table, but that rubs off on the players and us, and obviously that helped going forward because we won a lot of games after that.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, Derry City in the Cup must be some carrot as well at the moment, and that's something I know you've probably celebrated a bit last night, but it's a lot to play for yet.
Yeah, it's a tricky game because people are probably thinking, like, we've beat them twice in the league already, that it's going to be automatic win, but it doesn't work like that. Like so I said, Derry are probably looking at it, thinking it's going to be, could be a chance for them as well to get the semi-final. So yeah, it's a good opportunity for us, but we can't approach it like, oh, we beat them already, we'll easily beat them again. So it's a 50-50 game if you ask me.
And I'm not trying to write off Harps or Derry City or Athlone Town, but just in case you do get into Europe next season, like in terms of the long winter ahead, and you know we have a long off season in this country. What a thing to look forward to for this team, because you get the impression this Sligo team could actually do quite well in Europe.
Yeah, I think Europe absolutely suit us down to the ground, especially the way Liam likes to play off from the back, and boys up top like they're 1 or 2 touches. So yeah, I suppose we're not really there yet, nearly there, but when that comes, we'll celebrate that. But obviously, there's permutations to that with the cup and all that. So, yeah, Harps have to play Rovers. We're probably if we beat Derry, we're playing the winner of that. we were probably looking at going, oh, hope Harps win, so we beat play them. But obviously, we want Shamrock Rovers or Dundalk or Bowes or us to win the cup. So it's a weird one, but it's a good situation to be in as a player.
Just finally, I know you've left the club, but you must have lots of regret about Cork City getting relegated. You know, obviously, Colin Healy and a lot of the characters involved there.
Yeah, it's wasn't nice. Obviously, we played them 2 weeks ago, and that defeat kind of cemented their relegation. Yeah, to be honest, it was nice. Even when Ronan Coughlin's penalty went in, that we beat them 2-1. It was a weird feeling for me. It didn't feel like it was a winner for Sligo. Obviously, I was happy because obviously, what matters most is yourself. Like, you've got to look after yourself. But obviously, being at the club and as a fan for the club for so long, and I always will be a fan, that it wasn't nice. But Colin Healy he's a great football man, and I have no doubt if he gets the job with himself and his backroom staff, Richie and John Cotter there as well, that I have no doubts that he has the ability to get that club back to where it belongs.
Gary, thanks a million for coming on at short notice, and congratulations on finishing fourth, whatever that entails, and best of luck against Derry in the Cup as well.
No worries. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks.
Pat, we had a bit of a laugh last week about, it was all about the young managers in the league, and I think I included Keith Long in that, and Keith Long is well into his mid-40s at this stage, but as Dan referenced, this was like a good night for the veteran managers, so-called, in the league, and Liam Buckley is certainly one of them, and I have to say, I'm absolutely delighted for Sligo Rovers, the way that club is run, and while it's not taking it for granted that they're into Europe at this stage, this is a team, remember, that lost its first four games, and I remember talking to Rory Houston, their PRO earlier in the season, before the season started, and he said, we're targeting Europe this season, and it seemed very ambitious, but they've probably managed it, and you know Liam Buckley well, obviously, yourself.
Yeah, obviously, and like you said, they had a horrendous start to the season, and if there was ever a club that did well out of COVID-19, it's probably Sligo, because it came at the right time for them. And sure, some of the other clubs down the other end of the table be disappointed. You know, they did well when they came back, and they've been on a brilliant run. You know, you still look at it, you know, they scored 19 goals, I think, in the league this year. Is it?
They lost nine games.
They lost the same amount of games as Shelbourne, who found themselves in the playoff, you know, to stay in the league. So that's what I'm saying. It's a funny league. But again, they won 8 games. And that's the key, isn't it? That they, you know, there's only Bowes and Dundalk have won more games on them. And that's the key to it. They only drew 1, but they won 8, lost 9. They've only scored 19 goals. So to get to Europe on the back of that is... And I'm sure Liam, when he came back from the break, was looking at it and thinking, right, help me climb the table. But I think most of them clubs from 4th down to even to 9th would have thought, you know, we're either going to be in a relegation battle or we're going to be in a European battle. I think there's very little between the clubs in that category, and I think that's proven over the course of the season. When you look at Shells, who were in the playoff, are only, you know, 6 points behind Sligo, who are in the Europe, you know, potentially in Europe. You know, if they had a struggle and been down, you know, there'd been talk again, you know, Sligo hasn't been a good season, but now they're potentially going to be in Europe. It gives them a little bit of breathing space to try build a squad again. But like you say, Sligo is one of the clubs that is a proper League of Ireland football club. You know, the stadium is continuously developing, and hope they continue to do that. You know, the training facilities are really good, great football support, real support. When you look at what they did to get behind their team when COVID-19 came in, it just shows you the type of people they're talking about that follow Sligo.
Yeah, like, you know, we often bemoan the fact that, you know, there aren't as many people into the League of Ireland in Ireland as there should be. But you look at towns like Sligo and Dundalk, where pound for pound, they're as well supported nearly as any team you'll get in England because of the population. But I don't know if you mentioned, Pat, you obviously had your connections with Waterford as well, another of the clubs. And we're just talking about such fine margins here. You know, you'll say, oh, Waterford, they've had an okay season. They were very close, and watching back that Harps game last night, the chance that they had in the last minute that would have sent Harps down, but they were so close.
Yeah, and if you look, if they had won the game, they could have automatically qualified for Europe. So it's Waterford is a funny one, because I think for where they finished, I think they've done quite well, because at the start of the season they were in a lot of turmoil. Players came in late, so didn't hit the ground running as such, you know. So, but then if you take into the context, they've been up around that end of the table talking about Europe, and then you throw in on top of what happened to them a few years ago in relation to qualifying for Europe and missing out because of the regulations, it will feel like a bad season for them. But I think in general, if they'd have finished, you know, in fifth place, I think most people would have thought that was a decent season for Waterford, you know. And it's what happens next, isn't it, for Waterford? It's a bit like, you know, if they had about Europe, I'm sure Lee probably would have looked at it and thought, you know, we're in Europe, I'll maybe stick around and give it another go. Is that something he's going to do for next season? So it's a big off-season as well as for Dundalk. It's going to be a big off-season for Waterford as well. And what a club. Again, a bit like Sligo. Fantastic setup. You know, facilities really, really good. You know, big support when they're going well. There's no doubt about that. And you know, it's one of the clubs obviously that we want in the Premier Division, and you know, I'm hoping that Lee stays around and gives them the backing they deserve.
Knowing him as you know him, do you think he will?
I don't know. I know he was really disappointed how he was they were dealt with over the European saga. And I think last night would be, you know, he would have looked at it, obviously looking at the games and thinking Dundalk are getting beaten. If we can nick a win in Ballybofey, you know, they'd be on 27 points and sitting ahead of them, you know, so they'll be really disappointed. I know, like I said, Ravine, looking at it from a football perspective, to finish where they did, I think, is not bad on the back of where they were at the start of the season and trying to get players in late doors as well. So, again, another team with goals scored and problems, 17 goals scored this season. So, it's it seems to be, you know, outside of the top team, probably a recording coincidence, I suppose, that there's not many goal scorers within the league at the moment.
Which brings us on to St. Pat's, and they finished sixth.
Yeah, I think it's a disappointing season for Pats. But there's no other way of dressing her up. Stevie's a young manager, has gone in there, and obviously he needs a bit of time. And I'm hoping Pats look at what Rovers and give Stephen Bradley time to develop and, you know, to help the manager along. Again, can't score goals, Pats, and, you know, particularly their home form was disappointing as well. It's just lost something, Pats, at the moment as a club for me. You know, I go back to the days when I was playing with the good Shells team and the great Pats team. Going to Inchicore was a nightmare. You know, it was a difficult place to go under Pat Dolan, and you knew you were going to, you know, at the moment I get the impression that people like going to Inchicore. Pitch is lovely and playing nice football and you can get about them and make it difficult for them. So just something missing at the moment. And like I said, you know, Stevie hopefully will get the time to try to develop that. And I think the one thing that Pats are blessed with is to have a backer like Gareth Kelleher, because without him they'd be in serious trouble. And he deserves a huge credit, because we're talking about clubs and investing in clubs, and he's done that, you know, over a long period of time now with St. Patrick's.
Which brings us on to Derry City, who obviously are in a very, very similar situation with Doherty putting money in. I think, to be like, apart from Dundalk, I think Derry have been the disappointment of the season, Pat. 20 points from 18 games. I've watched them a few times. I actually think they have a lot of quality, a lot of good players. Hasn't worked out for them. And maybe the chat now is to try and bring back the likes of Lafferty to Derry next season. Maybe Michael Duffy, and give it another go next season. But for me, they've been very disappointing.
Yeah, they have. It's a poor season for Derry. I would have thought they'd been, I look at their squad at the start of the season, and I would have thought they'd be, you know, challenging for that third, fourth place, you know, maybe the fourth place, or, you know, with Bowes and that sort of category. I would have had, when I looked at the squad, they've got a lot of good players in. Again, another, you know, dilemma for the chairman. Does he continue to do what he's doing and plough the money in there to try to get them in? I think the key for a lot of these people is that there is a great option of maybe even next season of getting Europe, because you're looking at Rovers and Bowes and Dundalk being in a category probably above everybody at the moment, and then there's very little between the rest of the team. So it's and again, we don't know what the makeup of the league is going to be, and that's where it's going to be difficult for the likes of Lee Power and the Derry chairman to be ploughing money in, when we don't know whether we're going to have attendances and what the financial situation is going to be for these clubs. But it is, I think they'll be disappointed Derry where they finish. There's no doubt about that. You know, 7th in the league out of 10 is probably not what they would have been thinking at the start of the season, that's for certain.
Identical win-loss draw record and points to Finn Harps, who we've spoken about. Now, Pat, I do want to get you on this. I watched the Shells Shamrock Rovers game last night, kind of principally while having commentaries of the other games maybe a bit louder in the background, so that if a goal went in Inchicore or in Oriel or whatever. But I did watch this game, and I actually thought Shells were a bit of a disgrace in some of their tackles on some of the Shamrock Rovers players. I thought, as much as they were being absolutely battered around the pitch in terms of the way Rovers played, I thought Shells' discipline was very, very disappointing. Obviously, Deegan getting sent off, which I presume now means he misses the playoff. As I mentioned, I was at that game against Sligo when, I'm probably putting my match report, you know, they're more or less safe now, but they weren't safe, as it turned out. I was very disappointed in them last night, I have to say, and if I were Longford now, I'd be absolutely delighted that I'm playing Shelburne rather than Finn Harps.
I think Longford will smell blood at the moment. There's no doubt about that. I think I said before that Shells, you know, them back-to-back wins against Waterford and Sligo, I probably thought we'd 19 points was going to be enough to stay up, but unfortunately Finn Harps went on a great run as well, and it's cost Shells now. And you say sometimes momentum in football as well. I still think Shells have enough good players to to be able to beat Longford.
Pound for pound, they should be winning the game. Like,
yeah, they should be. They have enough players. Gary Deegan's obviously going to miss it. It's a big loss. I think they missed Luke Bourne as well in the last three games. Luke has done well for them at centre-half, and he's suspended. I think, hoping he's back for that game again. Shells is a club that we don't want to see go down. To lose Shells and Cork City in one season would be disappointing. You know, so, but like you say, at the end of the day, you get what you deserve. You know, they've lost nine games as well. You know, goal scoring has been a real problem for them around the pitch. You know, so, but listen, the Shells players have got to realise this is a cup final. You know, it's a one off game. You know, on paper they should be able to beat Longford, but Longford will go into the game on the back of two decent victories against UCD and Galway. You know, two teams are hard to play against. Galway, obviously, were on a crest of a wave on the run they went on. So it's by no means a given. It's a difficult game for Shelburne.
Yeah, just to mention, Dan referenced Joe Casey as well, who you remember well from your Shells days, and that's obviously a notable departure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he, you know, when I was at Shells as a player and as a manager, Joe was there and at the board, and, you know, he's just done an incredible job. When I left the club, obviously we know the club was in turmoil and in a bad, bad way, but to actually bring it to where they brought it, and I know the results on the pitches is difficult for their supporters at the moment, and it really is, and I do hope they stay up. I really mean that. I hope they stay up, not being disrespectful to Longford, but I do hope they stay up because they're building something. The crowds are really good before the lockdown. So, but Joe's job that he's done there, I think people don't realise the amount of work that he's put in and finances that he's put into that football club. He's done an unbelievable job, and he's handed it over in a situation where the club is in a great position financially. He can't be held responsible on the pitch at the moment. So, but again, in saying that as well, he deserves a break. It's difficult to do what he's been doing for a long period of time, and he's still a young man, and I'm sure he just wants to go and watch Shells playing and enjoy his team. I know he's a Leeds fan as well. So, but he's done a brilliant job there. He's one of the unsung heroes around Shelburne Football Club. And I will throw Colin Murphy into that category as well. A lot of the other board members that have been there a long, long time.
Yeah, I have to say, I'd really enjoy being back at Tolka Park for that Sligo game. And I went for, back in the days when you could actually go for a pint, I think it was just before lockdown. So myself and Rory Houston went for a beer after the game, Pat. And he was so despondent. He was like, you know, Sligo have blown their chance. And when I think back now, that Sligo finished fourth and Shells finished second last. And like, it's just been that sort of season, hasn't it?
Yeah, and that's what I said. I think a few weeks ago when Shells got them games, they were probably looking at, geez, you know, we might have a chance of qualifying for Europe here, you know. And then all of a sudden you find themselves in the situation they're in. But it's just been that type of season, like you say, that small league fixtures. And, you know, if you have a bad run, you can end up in serious trouble. And vice versa, if you can win a few games, you know, and get yourself out of trouble. But you know, at the end of the day, the table doesn't lie, and Shells are in a position they're in because over the course of the season, they haven't been good enough. You know, and they've got one more game to go. Deegan's going to be a big loss for them in that game. I know Ryan Brennan as well, they need to get back in, but I think Luke Bourne coming back in would be a big help for them. That's a massive game for Shells to stay in that league, and also for Longford as well, who are a good football club as well and have good people backing them, you know, down there over a long period of time. So, but obviously wearing my Shelburne hat, I'd like to see them stay in the league, but yeah, it's been a difficult season so far for them.
Yeah, it's probably a good time just to hear from Dara Doyle, who spoke to us ahead of the playoff.
We're delighted to be through to the playoff final, the real playoff final, I suppose, now after coming through really competitive games against UCD and against Galway. It was a great win, and the way we won it against UCD made it all the sweeter with a last-minute goal in extra time. And then obviously at the weekend against Galway, we put in a very good performance for, I felt, a deserved win, which brings us into the game obviously this weekend against Shelburne. If you look obviously at Shelburne through the season, they finished very competitively in that season. If you look at the bottom end, there's, I suppose, a couple of teams finished on 19, 20, 21 points. So they were competitive all season, and we'll expect a tough game from them. They've played at Premier level all season, which obviously is a higher level and standard of football than we have. So we know we're going to be in for a tough game against Shelburne. They've got a number of really good players. On our side of things, we look to impose our game and how we want to play with them without the ball. And listen, we've got a couple of days now and the rest of the week to prepare for the game against Shells at the weekend. We're due to find out the venue and what day the game will be on tomorrow. So when that happens tomorrow, We'll plan from there, but we need a good week of training, a good week of preparation to build into the game at the weekend, and we can't wait for the game now, so really looking forward to the game against Shells.
Yeah, Phil Munley, who's obviously backed the club so well, Pat, I was just asking him after the game, you know, because A. Dervin, who's a local lad, was outstanding. I thought he was the best player on the pitch. But Phil said 8 players in our squad have come through or have been promoted from the underage academy, and the 2 goal scorers last night are ex-academy. And I think that's massively encouraging for, obviously, like Longford is a very, very small town. It's a small county, small catchment area, and they've done great work there, and it's great to see.
I think with Longford, it's really important, because if you think of the Longford teams over the years, they'd probably be most of them being Dublin-based and travelling. And I think, you know, to try to get the people of the local community to buy into what you're doing as a football club, there has to be a fair sprinkling of local talent in there. So you have to give them great credit. They've obviously done a lot of work around their academy teams at a younger age group, and they're seeing the fruit of that now by, like you say, 7 or 8, and, you know, making the first team squad, which is important for them going forward.
And this isn't the worst segue in the world to Cork City, because obviously Neil Finn left Longford last season, and now Dara, who replaced him, is on the cusp of potentially getting promoted. Neil was let go by Cork City. I mean, it's a tough game, Pat. You know this yourself, but like for managers like, to a lesser extent, Vinnie Perth, but Neil Finn, you know, it's difficult to watch these games if you're not involved anymore. But where do Cork go from here? Where does Neil Finn go from here?
No, we spoke to... I mean, Neil's a young manager, so he's just got to dust himself down and look at, you know, where it went wrong from, and try, you know, you can easily, when you come out of jobs, blame other people, but you've got to look at yourself in the mirror and think, right, how can I, because like I said, he's a young coach, young manager, how can I make myself better? And you learn from the mistakes you made in that regard. In relation to Cork, they're a bit like Dundalk for me, obviously in a much worse case scenario. The club has changed hands. What's that going to be? What's the makeup of that going to be? What are the people that have come in? How are they going to, you know, look at the club, you know, to take a forward? I'd imagine they will look for a bounce back very, very quickly out of that division. So that division is going to be difficult to get out of. And I think Shells will look at that as well, going into a playoff, that they don't be back in that first division, you know, with the likes of Cork and potentially Galway, you know, very, very strong. So, but it's a disaster for Cork, I have to be honest. And disaster for the league as well. You know, let's not, you know, mess around here. We don't need big clubs like Cork leaving the Premier Division. And listen, that's happened across the water, the big clubs as well. So you don't, you have to earn the right to stay in division. And Cork haven't done that over the course of a season. Won 2 matches, you know, scored 10 goals. Like, it's horrendous form when you think about it for a club that were challenging for trophies and doubles and cups not that long ago, you know. So they need to pick themselves up and build that club. And you're hoping the people that have come in are looking at it that way, that they will build the club and have a right go of getting back into the Premier Division next season.
Finally, am I right in saying we have the delight of your company on the box as COCOM on air for the 21s against Iceland at 12:30 on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. I've probably been in contact with Rennie and Jim Crawford over the last few weeks, and you know, I think they're looking forward to the game as well. It's poised nicely for them as well, isn't it? And they go into the games with confidence. I know Stephen has probably taken one of the two of their better players, but listen, that's under 21 football. That's what the job is when you take it. You're never going to have your full squad. If the players are developing well, then that's a success in a way as well, that you get players into the senior team. But, you know, if they could win the games, then it gives them a chance, obviously, in a playoff. And I think when you would have looked at the group, that's probably what we would have expected.
Absolutely terrific to talk to you. Hopefully, might see you up in Windsor Park in the new year, because I have to say, just, you know, I feel there is a bit of a buzz back in the Irish League, and maybe we don't take an awful lot of notice of it, but we don't have a lot of football to follow here for the next few months, and we'll be keeping an eye out to see how the Blues are getting on, and how Larne and Cliftonville and Crusaders are, and Chasing you and so on.
Yeah, you're more than welcome, Johnny. Just let me know. You're more than welcome up to Windsor.
Thanks a million, Pat.
Cheers, Johnny. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks to Pat for coming in. And that was the end of a pretty bumper episode 28 of season 4. Lots more to play for, obviously. We've lots of games coming up in the Cup, and we'll see what happens there. And we'll be back next week with Danielson. Chat to you then. But there are